call Brenda at 412-221-6400. And for the round book, if you want the rounds. And the reason we're using Easter Pentecost is in the Tridentine Rite, Pentecost, you have the prayer the Sunday after Pentecost all the way up to the Feast of Christ the King. So you can use ordinary time, or I like the Easter Pentecost time, and you can pray that right up to the last week of October, which is in the Tridentine Rite, is the Feast of Christ the King. And then you can switch over to ordinary time until Advent, and then get into the Advent time. So the number for, who would I say?
Brenda.
Oh, Brenda. It's 412-221-6400. And you can get the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary. You get Father Bucci's book, and I think you can get the rounds.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, gray. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to go real slow? Okay, this is blank printing, BLANC printing. And it's 412-221-6400. Was that slow enough? Sorry. That's what people usually do on the phone. They say, Father, give me a call at 412-221-6400. And they go, huh? I know I did. 412-221-6400. Okay, so we're going to begin on page 9, volume 25, 317-29. My daughter, Louisa, my divine will is in the act of forming continuous births. To see how to be born again isn't just to say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but He wants us to be born again and again and again, because He loves to fill us. Each time we're born in the divine will, He gives us new births. He says, my divine will is in the act of forming continuous birth. These births, it generates and gives birth to light. It generates and gives birth to other lives similar to itself. It generates and gives birth to divine sanctity and divine beauty. The first generation is formed within our divine womb, and then the innumerable births come out from us. So here, Louisa is this one that has been formed in God's divine womb. Louisa is a ordinary person, born of original sin, that God has chosen to give to the world this new life. And again, this is not a new revelation. This is not new. This is the oldest thing that God gave to man, and that was the life that Adam was supposed to live. So this is not, somebody says, you know, it's a new revelation. No, it's not new. This is the oldest thing on earth. And Jesus is asking us to allow Him to receive this life. He says, that it may descend down below to creatures and may give to the ones who receive it the freedom to let Louisa generate, and Louisa may produce more births. Therefore, creatures may have our dear child, Louisa, generated in our womb. So our truths descend from heaven in order to generate in the hearts and to form the long generation of the divine births coming from me. So here we see that Louisa is the mother of the second generation of the children of light. Louisa, because of Louisa, we're not only called to live good and holy and saintly lives, but we're called to receive the image and likeness of God. This is what God has planned. So Jesus died on the cross, was crucified, He shed every drop of His blood. Why? So that we can continue to live like this? This doesn't make sense. But He gave us the Holy Church, and those that are faithful and obedient to Christ and His church will then be able to receive the gift of the divine will. But you see, you have to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. So the test that God has given to the world, that the world failed, was humani vitae. What it means to have human life, we failed it. And if we had passed it, God would be now giving to us what it means to have divine life. We would be living a divine life right now. So Jesus is expecting us to work with Him through Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can begin to live a life that He originally planned for Adam. See, our bodies are not to get old and die. That's never been part of God's plan. As a matter of fact, one man that I knew, God gave him the glorified body for a day, and he says that he looked at his arm and it was glowing, and with a divine light, and he could see all the veins and arteries, he could see the tendons, he could see the nerves, and he could see the blood going through the arteries and the veins. And he says he was filled with like a divine joy. He was filled with happiness. And he said to Jesus, why? Because Jesus appeared to him, why do I feel so happy? And Jesus says, because we are looking at ourselves. See, this oneness that God wants us to have is to be one with God. So that He says in volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. So when we look in the mirror, we should see Jesus. Okay, and we look in the mirror and we don't see that. Why? Because we're not there yet. But this is what God has planned. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. Like I said, the thing that I read, you know, in way back in the 70s was, it says to look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. So when you look up to the stars, look up to the clouds, as if in a mirror and see God. See, that's the reflection of man. It's an image and likeness of God. And this is what we're going to experience. We're going to experience things in the divine will that you cannot talk about. It's not that you are forbidden. There's no words to describe what Jesus is going to do. It's so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect that you can't say anything. This is why it's to have this relationship with Jesus, to read, to study, to put into practice the truths, and to really sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament if it's possible, and to meditate on what Jesus has said, and then you say to Jesus, make this clear to me. He will. And you'll have no words to say anything. All you can say is, I'm really happy. This is really great. You know, because there's no words to describe divinity. And that's what God is going to do. Again, like this, he says basically, so our truths descend from heaven in order to generate in the heart and to form the long generation of the divine births coming from me, from God. Again, see then, my daughter, each truth that I've manifested to you about my divine will was a child. Each truth, a life generated in our paternal womb, such that as we put it out and brought you, the child of our light, the child of our beauty, the child of our sanctity, the child of our love. See, when Jesus said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, our human intellect says, well, that's children. And even that rejected humani vitae. Well, we can do what we want. It says very clearly, each truth that I've manifested to you is a child generated in our paternal womb, brought forth a child of light, a child of beauty, a child of sanctity, of our divine love. And if the grace was given to you, Louisa, to put them out, to bear these children, to produce these children, it was because they found in you, Louisa, the space and the freedom to be able to generate in such a way that unable to contain within yourself the so many births of the children of our truths, you, Louisa, put them out in those who had the good of listening to you, or for the good of those who read the volumes. See, it's as you read this, these new divine lives are being given to us. And again, He, the Lord, said, be fruitful and multiply. These truths bring divine lives. Now, how do you describe it? How do you explain it? Okay, there's no words to do this. But you know it becomes alive in you. Like I said before, what do you love in volume 28? What do you love in volume 33? What brings you to complete happiness when you look upon these words? These are divine lives that live in you, that reign in you. It's a truth that you're embracing. And God says that it's being born in you. Again, you try to explain that to somebody who hasn't read the Divine Will, and they're going to just say, well, we'll get the people with the white coats to pick you up. This is so beautiful. And if the grace was given to you, Louisa, to put them out, it was because they found in you, Louisa, the space and the freedom to be able to generate in such a way that unable to contain within yourself the so many births of the children of our truths, you, Louisa, put them out. You, Louisa, give those that had the good, these lives to the good of those who had listened to you. Therefore, it can be said that the one who does not take these truths into consideration and does not esteem them, does not appreciate them, and does not love them, is a child of ours who does not appreciate and love the greatest thing that exists in heaven and on earth. Again, he's talking about the gift of the divine will. And by not loving the divine will, esteeming the divine will, they come to suffocate these children of ours and prevent their generation. There is no greater evil than this, not to use all the care in keeping the truth of ours as the greatest of the teachers, because it is our child. It is the bearer of our life upon earth. So every truth that Jesus has given to you is a life that he breathes into us, that reigns in us, that lives in us. And we can give that to others by reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. How glorious is this? What good can a truth of ours not do if it contains the power of our fiat, and so very vast that it has the power to save an entire world? Do you see why what's coming, it doesn't matter? It does not matter what's coming. And it's going to be, like I keep on telling you, it's going to be horrific. Jesus says this. He says that this truth contains a divine power of our fiat. And it's going to take care of everything. He says, it's so very vast, and it has this divine power to save an entire world. To see what Jesus is depending on us to do, it's more than anybody got the saints. The saints started a mission, a church, a religious order, a school. You know, this is what the religious have done. Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to give you the power to save an entire world. This is why the whole world, as St. Padre Pio, is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will. More so since each truth possesses a distinct good to be given to creatures as well as a glory for the one who generated it, and to hint the good of the glory that the dear births from us, Triune God, should give us, is the greatest of crimes. So here he says, and again, he can't give these writings out to everyone, because if they're rejected, and a lot of people have rejected the writings, Jesus says this is the greatest crime. It's preventing a divine life from living. So again, you know, what is our Lord saying to us? He's saying to us, I'm giving you the book of heaven, and I'm asking you to understand why I'm giving it to you. It's to save an entire world. It's to save the human generations. It's to bring people back to paradise, back to the kingdom, to leave the kingdom of darkness, to leave the kingdom of the evil one, and to begin to live in the kingdom of light. This is why we don't complain. This is why we don't worry. We're not fearful. We're not anxious. Because we've left that kingdom. We're now living in a kingdom of peace, joy, and happiness. There really should, and again, this is what we fight in ourselves continuously. Not to re-enter into that darkness, but to live in the light of God. Because we don't want to commit the gravest of crimes. And this is why I've given you, Luisa Picaretta, so much grace. I have administered to you, Luisa Picaretta, the words I, Jesus, have directed your hand while you were writing, so that the children of my truths might not be suffocated as though buried in your soul, so that you might not omit anything. And I placed myself near you. I held you in my arms like a tender mother holds her little daughter. And now I attract you with promises. Now I correct you. Now I reproach you severely. When I saw you reluctant to write the truths that I, Jesus, had manifested to you, because I, Jesus, had the interest that they were lives and children of mine, and that if not today, tomorrow, they would come out to the light. That's our life, is to give birth to these truths. Do you see what Jesus is asking of us? It's not to live a good, holy, and saintly life, but to live a life of heaven while on earth, to give birth to these truths. How do you give birth to them? By knowing them, by possessing them, by loving them. He says very clearly, if not today, tomorrow they will come out to the light. I cannot comprehend my sorrow. You cannot comprehend my sorrow in seeing the negligence of the ones who had lost the three volumes of my divine will. This is a time when, during Luisa, the books were left in Messina. These three books were gone. They were gone. And there was three volumes of the truths that Jesus taught Luisa. It's the same thing for us. There are volumes that we haven't read. They're lost. We have to read these. He says, how many truths were not inside them? How many lives have they not suffocated, forming the tomb that for my children that with so much love I, God, issued from my paternal womb? And on the part of those who had no care to the point of causing them to be lost, I feel that they have broken the plan of my divine will. And its long story spoken to you, Luisa, with so much love in order to make it known, because every time I would set myself to tell you what pertained to my fiat, the ardor of my love was so great that I felt that I was renewing the act of the whole of creation, especially when in the ardor of our love, Adam was created. And here, Luisa says, I felt my soul being pierced through and as if they were tearing it to pieces. And I said to Jesus, my love, if you want, you can make a miracle of yours, omnipotence, to have them be found. And so you shall not have the sorrow of so many truths suffocated, and for the long story of your divine will as though broken. I too feel I suffer very much, and I am not even able to say what this sorrow is like. And Jesus added, my sorrow that echoes in yours. It is my sorrow that echoes in yours. It is tearing, the tearing of so many lives of mine that they have suffocated and you feel within you. So again, when we're not reading something, if we have the books and they're just left, Jesus says, these lives are suffocated. It's like the books are lost. The truths that have been lost are written in the depths of your soul. Because first, I would write them in you, Luisa, with my creative hand. Then I would have you, Luisa, write them on paper. And this is why you feel vividly the tearing of them. It is my same tearing that you feel in your heart. Oh, if you knew how much I suffer each truth of these volumes that they have lost with so much negligence. I feel myself being given death, as many deaths for as many truths that were inside of them. And not only this, but death to all the good that those truths were to bring, and the death to the glory that they were to give me. But they shall pay for this with so much more fire in purgatory for as many truths as they have caused to be lost. we have to know that they were found. Jesus made that miracle. But you see what Jesus is saying. If you have the writings and you're not reading them, how much sorrow that gives to God. See, these very, very few people in the world have these writings. The saints never had them. All the people up to this time, none of the saints had these writings. And now Jesus has given them to us because he's asking us to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we have to stop living the human misery. We have to start living the fiat of God. So we know, however, if they do not use all the means in order to find them, because I want their cooperation, I shall not make the miracle that some would want, that they may be found. In this, as chastisement of their negligence, these births, these truths, these dear children that live of ours that we issued, however, we shall not withdraw, because what comes out of the womb of our divinity as relator, as bearer of the great goods for the creatures, is not withdrawn by us because of the ingratitude and negligence of those who have lost so many truths of ours. So here Jesus, you know, was on the warpath at this point. And I'll tell you, I know it's Jesus says no one is going to stand in the way of the divine will. And I've seen some people stand in the way of the divine will. And, I pray for them. Because it's just, you don't stand in the way of the divine will. This is a divine decree. It's going to happen. And Jesus is asking us to participate in this divine reality. Don't get in the Lord's way. I'll tell you. I remember one bishop who said no to Louisa. And he went to Rome and died. Whoa. Yeah, that's probably what he said. The next bishop that came into the diocese said, "Oh yes, Louisa can be here. Eloia, Louisa can be here." It's you know, this is, again, people might not understand how powerful this divine will is, but if we're living in the divine will with Louisa. Jesus says this, let them try to destroy you. Let them try. He says, they will face the fires of heaven. He didn't say hell. They will face the flames of heaven. And you go, whoa. I think I know where the fires of hell are. I don't want to know. Because Jesus, this is so important to God that the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. This is so important to Jesus. And he's asking us to cooperate with him so that it can be accomplished. I mean, we're nobody, we're nothing. There's nothing to us. Yet Jesus is saying, I want you to have this so that the kingdom can become, or can reign on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 25, 3, 25, 29. Therefore, manifesting to you, Louisa, so many truths about my fiat has been nothing less than the issuing into the field again, into the earth, all the order, all the love, which I would have kept if Adam had not sinned, and my kingdom had it had its life upon earth. In my speaking to you, Louisa, I have kept such order that one truth is so bound to the other that if anyone wanted to snatch away or conceal some truths, they would form a void in the kingdom of my divine fiat and would subtract a strength from creatures to induce them to live in my kingdom. In fact, each truth that regards my divine volition is a place that it takes in order to reign in the midst of creatures, as well as a way that an empty space that they find in order to take possession of them. Okay, let's figure that out. I must have read something wrong. In fact, each truth that regards my divine will is a place that takes in order, that it takes in order to reign in the midst of creatures, okay? As well as a way and an empty space that they would find in order to take possession of them. Okay. Therefore, all the truths that I have told you, Louisa, have such a connection among themselves that by removing some, in that point, one would see as though a heaven without stars or a void without sun or an earth without flowering. In fact, in all these truths that I've told you, Louisa, there is renewal of the whole of creation, and each truth, my fiat, is more than sun and wants to come out into the field again, just as it did in creation. And in taking its field of action, with its light, it wants to eclipse all the evils of creatures. In laying its veil of light over everyone, it wants to give them so much grace as to give them its creative hand to make them re-enter into the womb of its divine volition. So here, the truths are interconnected. It's a fabric. And if you take a section of the fabric out, it ruins what was there. And that's what Jesus is saying. Everything interconnects. Everything works together. Everything brings man back to the garden. Everything brings man to live the abundant life that God originally breathed into Adam. See, that what Jesus taught Louisa is what Adam should have taught his children. But since Adam fell, there was no voice, there was nothing. Until Jesus came, the new Adam. Mary came, the new Eve, and redeemed mankind. See, everybody's happy right now. It's to begin again, to live this life. And see, Jesus has waited for us to receive this. This is our gift that God has given to us. Therefore, everything I've told you, Louisa, about my divine will has such importance that it costs me, Jesus, more than the whole of creation, because it is a renewal of creation. And when an act is renewed, it costs double love in order to be more sure. We place double grace and double light to be given to souls so that we, triune God, might not have to suffer the second sorrow, maybe more painful than the first, that we had in the beginning of creation when Adam sinned and Adam formed within himself the failure of our love, of our light, and of the precious inheritance of our supreme volition. And this is why I am so attentive that you may lose nothing of what I, Jesus, tell you about my divine will. Because there is such importance in these truths that in concealing some, it would be as if one wanted to move the sun from its place or to make the sea come out of its shore. And what would happen to the earth? Think about it. Think about it yourself. And so it would be if any of these truths of my divine will that I have manifested to you, Louisa, with so much order were missing. So Jesus has got everything planned in the book of heaven. And all that he's asking of us is that we begin to live it. This is ours. He has planned this from the beginning of time. It's not your grandparents. It's not your parents that are here today. It's us. This is the generation that Jesus says that he has given this gift to, who are linking themselves to Louisa so that the kingdom can be brought on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. This is our job. This is our life. You know, how glorious is that? Volume 27, 12, 24, 29. My daughter Louisa, when I speak, I unleash light of truth, and I, God, want that it be accepted and caressed by the soul. So again, it's not just to read this, but to study and to put it into practice, to possess it. And this is, the saints were to know, love, and serve God. The divine will is to know, love, and possess God. That's the difference between what the saints did as servants and what we are going to do as possessors of God. This is why 20 through 36 is how to become to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. None of the saints had this. None even the saints knew about it. This was given to Louisa, and Louisa wrote it. And because she wrote it, being dictated to by Jesus Christ himself, we now read this, and it can be ours if we just give our fiat. He says very clearly, if this light is accepted and put in a place of honor in her interior, it calls for another light. And so one calls for another. Otherwise, it goes back to its source. And when the soul returns to read it, if they are written, and to ponder them, My truths are like wrought iron. And as the iron is beaten, it becomes red hot and gives out sparkles of light. While if it is not beaten, the iron is hard, black, and ice cold metal. And so it is with my truths. If the soul reads them over and over and over and over and over, it is in order to suck the substance that is inside of my truths that have been communicated to Luisa's soul, that it's symbolized by the iron, its blackness and coldness, and the soul remains red hot. And by pondering them, the soul strikes blows over herself, who has received the good of hearing my truth, that feeling honored sparkles with light of more truths. But if my manifested truths are put into oblivion, nor are they put into a place of honor, they remain as though buried. Okay, so here, again, if the books of the divine will are just on your shelf, something is wrong. You're not glowing with the light that God wants you to possess. This is a great mystery. Our God has given us the testament of love, he calls it. He's given us the testament of the kingdom. He's given us the gospel of the kingdom, which is this great gift of the divine will. And it's not to many, but it's to us. Jesus says, if you have the writings, it is I, Jesus, who have given you these writings. No human. So he says very clearly, if they are buried, if they're put into oblivion, they remain buried. The living are not buried. The living are not put on the shelf. In fact, they are light that possesses and brings life. Therefore, since they are not subject to dying, the time shall come in which others shall treasure them and shall condemn those. Listen to this. They will condemn those who had kept them in oblivion as though buried. So if you are leaving these on your shelf without reading them, woe to you. Like I said, there's blessings and curses. We're not talking about a blessing here. This has been given to us by God Almighty, and that's what you have to understand. He's asked us to do something that he's asked none of the saints to do. He's asked us to read, to study, and put this into practice. And he says, if you knew how much light there is in everything that I, God, have manifested to you, Luisa, on my divine will, and how much more divine light would sparkle if they were read, if they were reread, you yourself would remain eclipsed and amazed at the great good that they would do. See, our Lord, you know, this can't be ordinary. It can't be something that you do when you don't have anything, when you don't have anything else to do. It's really to get rid of the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to begin to read the things of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that are found in the writings. It's to begin to live a life that Luisa lived. Again, she focused on this. This was her life. This is what she wanted more than anything. Jesus is trying to get across to us how important these writings are. Volume 28, 8 to 30. I was thinking about the many truths that Blessed Jesus had told me on his divine will, and that only to obey I had written on paper, and that some people in reading them not only are not taken by these truths, but it seems to me that they hold them as truths not to be taken into consideration. That's where most people are. But I felt a pain because of this, that while to me they seem like many suns, one more beautiful than the other, capable of illuminating the whole earth, for others instead, they seem that they have not even the virtue of warming it or giving it a little bit of light. So while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus in all goodness told me, my daughter Luisa, all things down here, both in the supernatural order and the natural order, are all veiled. Okay, hidden. Everything is hidden. The souls that want to know the truths, the veils are lifted. And that's the thing that we're going to discover as we read. But things can be seen as they are in themselves. Excuse me. Only in heaven are they... Only in heaven. Only in heaven. I'll get it. Oh, okay. Thank you. I couldn't find that other word. Only in heaven they are unveiled, because in the celestial fatherland there are no veils, but things can be seen as they are in themselves. And so up there in the intellect does not need to work in order to comprehend them, because of their own, they show themselves what they are. And if there is any work to do in the blessed dwelling, if it can be called work at all, is that they are of enjoying and delighting in the things that unveiled one sees. So here in heaven, Jesus has said that everything's unveiled. Here on earth, everything is veiled. And see, this is why when something doesn't work, it's not to be worried or fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative. It's to say, fiat, you'll show me when you want me to know, Lord. And when we have that docility, Jesus then shows us. But if we become a stick in the mud, like, I'm not going to move until I figure this out, God says, fine, stay where you are. It's to let God be God. And if he puts up a block, fiat. If he doesn't put up a block, fiat. On the other hand, down here it is not so. Since the human nature is a spirit and body, the veil of the body prevents the soul from seeing my truths. The sacraments, all and all the other things are veiled. I myself, word of the Father, had the veil of my humanity and all my words, my gospel, in the form of example of similes. And only those who drew near me to listen to me with faith in their hearts, with humility, and with the shall know, okay, and with the will to know, let's get rid of that word shall, and the with the will to know the truths that I, God, have manifested to them in order to put them into practice, could comprehend me. But by doing this, they tore the veils that hid my truths, and they found the good that was in them. Through faith, through humility, and by wanting to know my truths, it was a work that they were doing. And with this work, they would tear the veil and find my truths as they are in themselves. And therefore, they remain bound to me, to the good that my truths contain. Others who would not do this work would touch the veil of my truths, not the fruits that was inside. Therefore, they remained on an empty stomach. They could not understand anything. And turning their back to me, they departed from me. So Jesus says, I want you to do some work. He says, I want you to read, to study, to put this into practice, to tear the veil, to enter into this gift. He says, there's work that we have to do. And so are my truths. And that with so much love, I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will, so that they may shine like unveiled suns, as they are creatures, must do their work, walk the way in order to touch them. And that is faith. They must desire to want to know them. They must pray, and they must be humble in their hearts in order to open it, so as to let the good and the life of my truths enter into them. If they do this, they shall tear the veil and shall find them more than refulgent suns. Otherwise, they shall remain blind. And I shall repeat the saying of the gospel, you have eyes and do not see, ears and do not hear, tongues that are mute. See, also in the natural order of all things are veiled. The fruits of the veil of the skin, who enjoy the good of eating them. The one who does the work of drawing near the tree, of picking it, removing the skin that hides the fruit. This one enjoys and makes the desired fruit his food. In the field are veiled by straws. Who takes the good that those straws hide? One who uncovers them, of those straws that has the good of taking the grain in order to form the bread to make of it his daily food. In sum, all things down here have the veil that covers them to give to man the work and the will to love, to possess, the love to possess them and enjoy them. Now my truths surpass natural things by far, and they present themselves to the creature like noble queens veiled in the act of giving themselves to them. But they want their work. They want them to draw near them by the steps of their human will in order to know them, possess them, and love them. Necessary conditions in order to tear the veil that hides them. And once the veil is torn, with their light of their own, they make their way, giving themselves in possession to those who have searched for them. So again, Jesus is saying, I've given you the volumes. All you have to do is read. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, the veil is lifted. Now those that, and I've heard people say they don't like the divine will. And I've usually asked them, how many volumes have you read? And, they usually, if they're honest, they tell me the truth. I remember in 1990, this guy said, I read Luisa. I said, well, how many volumes did you read? He said, I read them all. I said, you read all 36 volumes? He says, yes. I okay. Because they weren't out by then, you know. To really read, it's to be absorbed into God. To read is to begin to live a life of truth. This is, again, what our God is asking of us. Okay, so this is the reason for those who read the truths of my divine will and show that they do not comprehend what they read. Even more, they are confused because the truth, true will of wanting to know them is lacking. It can be said that the work in order to know them is lacking. And without work, nothing can be acquired, nor do they deserve such a great good. I, with divine justice, deny to them what I abundantly give to the humble and to those who yearn for the great good of the light of my truths. See, Jesus is looking, do we want this? And as we say yes, he says, read. And he says, yes, Lord, I promise to read, and I will be faithful to my vow. And you read. And as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, heaven comes to earth. Heaven comes to reign in you. My daughter, how many truths of mine suffocated by those who do not love to know them and do not want to do their little work in order to possess them? I, God, feel that they want to suffocate my very self if they could. And I am, in my sorrow, forced to repeat what I said in the gospel, and I do it indeed. I take away from those who do not have, and I take away from those who do not have or who might have a little something of my goods, and I leave them in squalid misery, because not wanting them and not loving them, these would hold them without esteeming them, without fruit. And I, God, shall give more abundantly to those who have, because these shall hold them as precious treasures, which shall bear fruit more and more. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.